amazing thing of postmodernism. I know that thrills everybody to hear a word like that, to start off a sermon title like that, and then you go, well, why are we talking about words like this? Postmodernism, meta-narrative, and all this other stuff. Part of that is so we can sort through the garbage that comes out from the devil's world. Because these are terms they throw around and they use. And they use them to try and confuse believers. And sadly, they've done a really good job of it in a lot of cases. Postmodernism is a... I don't know why I put review on that slide, but anyway, first of all, we've covered this is our third major topic here, because as we're looking at worldviews as they relate to the angelic conflict, first one we looked at is secular humanism. It's atheistic at its core, okay? They don't believe there is any God, and they want to be God. The next is Marxism. Now, Marxism is a desired result because they want to see this thing ran, and actually Stalinism, they want to see it in this collective society type of thing. But Stalin says, but you got to have a ruling class. It's the only way it's going to work. So that's why they still have parliament in Russia. They still have the czar, not the czar there, but the president, and they have Putin, who knows what he is. He's just in charge. Okay, I forget what title he's got. Postmodernism is how this is implemented. Secular humanism, atheism, is the underlying worldview. Okay, Marxism, that's me. And I did have review on there. Anyway, let's try it again. Not from the top. Secular humanism is the worldview, which is atheistic in its viewpoint. Marxism is what they want. They want to be able to control the world. So all the one world government, globalism, all that other stuff comes out of these worldviews. It's where it's coming from. And then postmodernism is how they get it done. Now, postmodernism is a way that is used, and they use it to change a lot of word meanings and stuff. We're going to go through this in a way. Now, it seems really clear when you really look at the world, there's only three underlying worldviews. One is there's no God. Another one is there's one God. And another one is there's many gods. And everything else will boil down into those three things. So, as I said, atheism, this comes out of the no view of God worldview. Marxism is what they want, and postmodernism is how they use it to get there. So they're off groups or offshoots of not believing in God. Now, the review that we're going through, first of all, there are four steps to combating these erroneous worldviews. I've been at Trinity a long time, and it seems like about every year on the first of the year I give a challenge, okay, for the coming year. And the challenge is basically this is something to kind of keep in mind all throughout this year. And here's kind of our challenge for 2026. There are four steps to combating these worldviews. And you say, why would you do that? 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us that God is not the author of confusion, Satan is. So where we find mass confusion and no understanding, guess who's behind that? Satan is. And then we find in 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says, we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now, sadly, a lot of churches have become ignorant of his schemes, and they have bought in to his system. And a big part of Satan's system is this postmodernism, this big, long word. And we're going to see what it is. Now, we have learned how do you go about combating them. First thing you have to do is identify the problem. We've talked about this before. If you're an engineer, you don't even have to be an engineer. You don't have to study it in school. You know, you want to build something in the backyard. Okay? You got to identify a need, right? Identify the problem. And then isolate the problem. You make a design. You make a plan for it. Identify the problem. Isolate the problem. Now, with worldviews, what we have to do is be willing to inform other people about erroneous worldviews. And then the last one is invest. And invest doesn't always mean money. Okay? Invest doesn't always mean money. What invest means is that you put your time into it, you put your effort into it. So we need to know what the worldviews are, be able to identify them, be able to define them, isolate them, be able to inform people about them. This is the way that you're viewing things, and there's a problem there. And then invest the time to try and help other people. And I think that's a pretty good challenge for 2026 for all of us. Figure out the problem, set it aside, figure out how to tell people what's wrong. Now, identify the areas. First of all, that's the four steps to combating, though, the areas of this worldview where Paul says we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. Okay? Follow Christ, it says there's a simplicity and a purity of devotion to Christ. So it's really very simple. We've been through that many times. You make some very simple decisions. The world is going to try and pull you away in every direction imaginable, and you still make the simple decisions right, and you make them over and over. I was listening to some of the football coaches. I don't know if anybody in here watches football, but occasionally I watch football. I'm listening to some of the coaches coming out, and they're talking about, and even with the basketball, Thunder coach was on there, and they got beat. They can't seem to solve the San Antonio Spurs problem, okay, but they do pretty good. And he said, what we need to do, and what he's trained his players, we need to do the simple things on every play. We need to do the things we can control on every play. We need to make the passes. We need to do those things. That's what a Christian needs to do. We need to know the simple things. First of all, we stay focused on God, okay? Focused on His Word. Do the simple things over and over and over again. That's how you win basketball games, how you win football games, and that's how you win in the Christian life. I heard another coach say the other day, he stole it from me, but I stole it from somebody else, that they're going to practice till they can't get it wrong. That's the objective. That should be our view of the Christian life. Not practice to get it right. Let's practice until we can't get it wrong. That's a whole different level of commitment and discipleship. Identify the areas. We're not ignorant of his schemes. So what are his schemes? Secularism. Secular humanism is all about control. Okay? They want you to be in control of yourself, but you're never in control of yourself, so they want to control everybody else so they can control themselves. You know, have you noticed that? When somebody wants to rule the world, they want to reorder everybody else's world in the process. Secularism. Then Marxism. Marxism's all about capital. That's what life is about. To a humanist, life is about control. To a Marxist, life is about who's got the money. Okay? And because some people that have a lot of money are greedy, then all money's greedy. You see the flaw in that reasoning? All people that have a lot of money are greedy. So a Marxist wants to go take it from people who've rightfully earned it. If they've not rightfully earned it, then they shouldn't keep it. They should take them to the courts. They take them to the courts and get it back, repay the people they stole it from. If it's wrongfully gained, dishonest gain, the Bible condemns that. But not everybody that's rich is a crook. Okay? Although some people would say they are. But that's Marxist viewpoint. It's interesting. I've been to Russia. I've been to a couple of places where Tsar Nicholas went in and actually built libraries. He built arts centers where they could do ballets and stuff like that. And I mean, what he did was use his power and his wealth to try and build up the people that were there. And then they said, well, that's bad. The people should have that power. So they killed him. Killed him and his family. Took them all out. I actually got drive by the house one time, and it just looked like a old beat up house sitting out in the middle of a field. And they said that's where Nicholas and his family were executed. And I said, what? They said, I said, there's no sign. There's, I said, no, they don't want people to know where it is because it might stir up another uprising. So they're not even going to talk to people about Tsar Nicholas and his family that was executed. So then they put in the Bolshevik Revolution. They put in the proletariat. They made friends with the Jews because about half of the parliament in Russia was Jewish in 1917. And whenever they did that, they got the Jews to vote with them. And the next thing you know, they turned on the Jews. And they started killing the Jews. They probably killed more than Hitler did in Nazi Germany. That's how they got power and control. So there's nothing nice about Marxism, because they will use any force necessary to maintain, to get power, any force necessary to maintain it. Now, postmodernism is all about, life is all about context. Now, postmodernism, people love it. They like postmodern viewpoint. And they go, well, I don't even know what the word means. Well, we're going to know what the word means here in a minute. It's past the modern era. We're past the modern era. And now we're far past the Enlightenment. Now we're just getting smarter and smarter and smarter all the time. So this is all about context. And the context is kind of interesting, because if you can reinterpret the context, you can reinterpret your reality. And that's what they're trying to do. The new spirituality, this is actually an old spirituality, it's Hinduism. It goes back thousands of years. And this is all about consciousness. This new spirituality is, what heights of consciousness can you ascend to? And out of this comes, this yoga is involved in that. Now, some people say all yoga is bad. I don't know all yoga is bad. I don't do yoga. Okay, I do have a close friend that got heavily enough into it that she was clearing her mind. See, that's clearing your mind. That's yoga, clearing your mind. Christian meditation is not clearing your mind. It's focusing on the Lord. So there's a whole different thing there. So if you want to sit down and relax and twist your body into 14 shapes and all that other stuff, and then you want to think about God's Word, that's Christian meditation. That's fine. But if you want to try and clear your mind, you know what's going to happen? Probably what happened to her. Because she finally got to the point, she got her mind cleared, and then she heard a voice that went, hi. And scared her, which is good. And she got out of the yoga class. One of the smarter ones. You don't want to get your mind cleared to that point, because you open it up to doctrine and demons and all kinds of stuff. New spirituality is a consciousness. Astral projection. Astral projection, you say, what is that? Well, you go deep enough into a yoga state, and you get your mind cleared, and the next thing you know, you're projecting out through the universe. And you say, well, how's that? I actually experienced that once. It was after my heart surgery, and I was on. I had a morphine pump, which if you ever had heart surgery and had a morphine pump, you thank God for them, because you hurt from everywhere, and you push the button for the morphine, and then it won't let you have it but every 15 minutes. So you're sitting there pushing it. Anyway, and then they decided to wean me off the morphine and put me on oxycodone. And so I was laying there in the hospital, at the heart hospital up there, and with the oxycodone, and I found myself heading out beyond the stars. And Shirley MacLaine was coming back from one of her trips, and so I went, I don't want any more of that. Cut me off of that stuff. So I don't take oxy as a result of May 21st, 2005. So anyway, new spirituality does that without drugs, and drugs will get you there faster. And that's part of why the drugs that are floating around, I know libertarians think, well, we ought to be able to take anything we want, but my gosh, some of this stuff is nothing but dangerous. Nothing but dangerous. New spirituality. Islam. This is the alternate to one God. There is one God, and Allah is not Him. Allah is a figment of the imagination or a demon, one or the other, but He is not truly a God. And then there are Christians that want to put the two together and say, we're really worshiping the same God. We are not worshiping the same God. And Muslims will tell you that. There are two different gods. If they were worshiping the same God, I think they would be, the Muslims would be trying to make friends with Israel. Okay? But they're not. They're different. And then the last one is Christianity. Life's about Christ. Life is about Christ. So here are the basic areas. We're not ignorant of His schemes. What is He up to and how is He doing it? Now the third thing we saw, we find, first of all, to identify, next to isolate, and then the issue, that's where we're at now, isolate the issues. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 23 and 24, is basically telling us we need to learn to really see. Just because we have physical sight doesn't mean that we can really see. Mike Dunn can't see a thing, and yet Mike has got a lot more spiritual sight than a whole lot of people do, because he can see interactions with people. He hears them. He picks them up. And, you know, I walk up to him and try to sneak up on him, and he knows who I am every time. I don't know if it's not my cologne. I don't wear any. But it's got, somehow Mike knows who it is, but he's got spiritual insight, and he can see some spiritual things other people can't see. Jesus in Luke 10 said, turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings wished to see the things that you see and did not see them, and to hear the things you hear but did not hear them. It's being able to spiritually see what is going on. To do that requires that we are connected with the Holy Spirit. He is inside of us, but are we listening to Him? Okay? If we know what to look for, He wants us to learn things, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to learn things so whenever we see things or hear things, we can identify what direction they're coming from. So that's isolate them. Secularism believes, this is atheism, that spiritual issues are creation of the human imagination. Okay, so they're not interested in your spirituality. A humanist is not interested in your spirituality, in your relationship with God, your walk. They think it's all a figment of the imagination because they believe in evolution. Okay? Evolution means that matter has always existed. Remember this little chart that I've asked you to keep going through. Matter has always existed. If you start there, it's all about your perception and what you see and how you evaluate and your observation rather than having an overarching narrative that tells you this is the truth and this is where you need to stay. So what they believe is that out of a primeval soup eventually came an amoeba and eventually evolved and crossed species and changed into a person. And all these persons got together and said, hey, we need a God. Okay? So man created God to a secular humanism. And God is a figment of their imagination. That's the way they actually view it and believe it. So a humanist could actually talk about God, but they do it to hide because they don't want to actually deal with the issues. Marxism, their viewpoint is that some rich people are greedy, therefore confiscation of wealth is justified. And look at the grand experiments going to happen in New York City over the next few years. What a mess. What a mess that's going to be. But we'll see how it plays out. You know, none of this is out of... Lord knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in every heart and every soul in New York City. in every heart and every soul in Oklahoma City, and every heart and every soul in Delhi, India. He knows what is going on. So nothing's catching him by surprise. Postmodernism, often religious people lie, so no religious belief should be believed. Now, this is the postmodern viewpoint. This is the viewpoint that has been moved into our colleges, universities, to our schools. This is the viewpoint that's been moved in there. It's basically an atheistic viewpoint. Desire is full control, Marxism. And they basically say, well, religious people lie. Does anybody in here lie? I'm not good. Don't need to raise your hands. Hopefully we're at the point of not intentionally anymore. But they say religious people lie. It's like some religious people have claimed perfection after they got saved. That's not good. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. So they use that, because Christians have goofed up, they use that to say Christianity is wrong. And they use it to say all religions are wrong. Do you see where the song Imagine came from? By John Lennon? Yeah. He thought it was all a figment of the imagination. And he wrote that song about it. And a generation of people sang along with it. A lot of them not having a clue what they were really saying. They were hearing, but they were not hearing. Because if they'd understood it, they would never have sang along with it. And then, new spirituality. New spirituality says forces are at work beyond what we can see. Therefore, God has to be a force rather than a person. Where did Star Wars come from? And the yin-yang philosophy that says that the universe is half good and half evil, and nothing, neither one's ever going to conquer the other. Have you ever noticed the never-ending series of Star Wars? They can't have a last show. If they have a last show, the final episode is Star Wars. Now we need to do another prequel. They'll figure out something to keep bringing this thing back, because the whole thing is that nobody's ever going to win for very long. So they're going to keep bringing this back. And God must be a force. You know, out of new spirituality, and there are things the Lord's let me study over the years that's been interesting. The occult hierarchy has Lucifer at the head. Lucifer, his pre-fall name. Okay? Then they have 12 Bhogavanitas, which are basically Hindu gods and goddesses. Under that, they have 70 ascended masters. And they put Jesus in one of those ascended masters. So a Hindu can talk to you about Jesus, but he's not the same Jesus that you're talking about. Because to them, he's a man that became God. He's one to follow because he became God. Now, above Lucifer in the occult hierarchy is the solar logos, which is a force that guides the universe. Isn't that interesting? See, this stuff is—it's you can find it. This is not just a bunch of words being presented on a Sunday morning. This stuff is fact and things that are coming into play here. He must be a force rather than a person, and it's an impersonal force. The last Star Wars I saw, because I like to keep up with what they're up to, the last one I saw opened up with a personal force. So they knew where the opposition was coming from, because we were pointing out that you know, this impersonal force that guides the universe. Oh, God is a personal God. So then they tried to twist it and say that this force was actually a personal force. They slipped that into the opening lines of the deal. I told Helen, we were watching it together, and I said, there it is. They're trying to tell you that this impersonal force is really a God. Anyway, isolate the issue. And the Islam basically says that people naturally rebel against God, but their God is Allah, so they have to be forced to submit. See, so Islam is about conquering and conquest. Are they going to try to do that? They have moved into our cities. They have not paid any attention to multiply 2 times 1. I mean, just if 2 people come together, make 2 kids and stop. And they said, well, if 2 people come together, that'll make 8 or 10 kids. And the next thing you know, they have majorities and they're getting people elected into power. And that's all part of the plan. You can follow their plan, and it's not like it's hidden away in some secret society type of thing. But once they hit about 20% of the population, they start moving for power. And they're doing it in Europe. They keep poking the bear. They do it in India. You know why there's a Pakistan and a Bangladesh? Because of Islam. Pakistan on the west is 90% Muslim, and Bangladesh on the east is about 90% Muslim. And now they've got a state right in the middle of India that is Muslim. It's a Muslim state. So anyway, they want to conquer. And they have plans underway to do such a thing. It looks like they're going to be about a third of the population of the earth, especially after the rapture happens. And the kings of the east, the polytheistic new spirituality group, start killing them because they move from the east across all the Istan countries to the south end of the Dead Sea with that 200 million man army. And they kill a third of the population, Book of Revelation. So, looks like the numbers are about right. Isn't that fascinating? This is the way it all works. Now, the fourth thing is to inform. That means use different methods to provide truthful data. Luke 12:3 says, proclaim it from the housetops. Now, I know some people that do get on a housetop and proclaim it. Fine, if you're that much of a literalist, just get right up there and let them have it. We live in a society that there are so many ways to do this. I personally don't care much for AI, okay, because I think it's dangerous. My personal viewpoint on that. But if you can figure out a way to use AI to get the gospel out, do it. Does the book that we follow say don't? Where there is no law, there is no sin. He's given us this freedom, so we can take this freedom we've got, we can take the brain we've got, we can take the human spirit and the soul and the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we can say, Lord, show me how to do it. Show me a new way to reach people. Just like Charlie Kirk started going into the college campuses when you said you couldn't do it. And he said, I'm going to go in there anyway. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk to them. And we're going to have a conversation. That was kind of a new way to do it for a while, wasn't it? Yeah. So was there anything wrong with that? No. Not anything biblically. What about the gospel coins? I know a lot of you take gospel coins and hand them out to people. Plant them, seed the ground, okay? That's great, because that's a start. Plant the seed, let somebody else come along, water it. Maybe it's you that gets to water it. But look at all the different ways that we can do this. And we have a lot of books that we give away free. Give those away. They don't need to be, we always viewed it as, when they're sitting in boxes in a storeroom, they're not doing anybody any good. So don't worry about taking them. I notice the stacks are a little small. We need to resupply them. We're not running out. So don't worry about running out. But they're just basic information about the Bible. Foundations 2 is an argument about the arguments about why the Bible is the Bible. Because a lot of people don't follow the Bible. That's postmoderns. It's too full of errors. They made up their own story about stuff. And then there's actual proof that, yeah, it is the Bible. Now, Use different methods to proclaim. And then the last one is invest. Live what you know to be true, seeking everybody that will listen. Live it. John 8, 31, 32. If you abide in my word, Jesus said. Look at this. Is such a simple thing. It's a verse that's so frequently memorized. If. Puts the hickey on us, doesn't it? If you. He's talking to us. Abide means to live. It's your life. Meno is the word. If you abide in whose word? My word. Jesus talking to the disciples. If you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And you shall know. That's a promise. Conditioned on the if. If you abide in my word, then you shall know the truth. And the truth, another promise, shall set you free. So you have the freedom to go tell people. So why not? Now, we've been looking at these different areas, and this is just a quick review to get through the holidays and get us started into the new year. But there's a overview here. You got a little chart there, and you can look at the issue. I don't know what I got. Okay, the overview. We've been looking at this with secular humanism. We've looked at it so far with Marxism. Okay, what is the theology of postmodernism? Is atheism. So you keep that in mind. Whenever you run into an atheistic person or an atheistic action, then you can identify it. And our theology is Trinitarian. We believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Okay, that's who we are. That's the theology of a Christian compared to a postmodern. The philosophy is anti-realism. See, this is postmodernism says that just because you look at it and it seems real, it's not really real. Okay? Because after all, religion is just a figment of your imagination. So if it's a figment of your imagination, it's not really real. So if they're true, then I'm standing here at the pulpit and I'm looking at all of you that are figments of my imagination. And I've created my own little world called pluralism. And you guys are all part of my world. Of course, you're sitting there looking at me and the other people around here, and you're the head of your world, and everybody else is a part of your world, too. That's one of the anti-theistic theories. The philosophy is no realism. Christianity is faith and reason. Okay, faith, because we've got a good objective of faith to build on, and it's reasonable. And that people often forget. I enjoy, in a way, getting to do funeral services. And while they're never a lot of fun to do, what is enjoyable is giving the gospel as clearly as I can possibly do it. And I spend time in prayer going in that, Lord, please make this gospel clear to people. Because the people that I do the services for normally don't want them to be the center of attention. They want Jesus to be the center of attention. And if they're believers, maybe they've gone the wrong direction, but if they're with the Lord up there now, they're wanting Him to be the center of attention, even if it may not have been true during their life. Because now they're in a new body, and this new body never sinned. So it's not about them anymore. But it is about those friends and relatives that never accept Christ. And they will have a concern about them. Well, when you can get up there and say, you know, Jesus is the only reasonable decision that you can make concerning eternity, you usually get people's attention. And they start thinking about stuff. Because it's never been presented as a reasonable decision. I'm going to say never. It's usually not presented as a reasonable decision. But it is reasonable. If you're a sinner facing eternity, you got two options. You either find a way to save yourself or you find a Savior. And guess what? Nobody can save themselves, so you need a Savior. And if you look around for a Savior. You want one that's conquered sin and death. And there's only one that's done that in the history of the world. So it's reasonable to put your faith in Jesus Christ. We look at ethics. In ethics, postmodernism is, their viewpoint is a cultural relativism. Now, what does that mean? Well, it might be right for you, but it's wrong for me. You frequently hear these things. It's your truth, but it's not my truth. But I ask, is it going to be your truth tomorrow? The same truth you have today, are you going to have tomorrow? Can you have some kind of consistency? Their whole system, though, is one that lets them run the show from moment to moment. And that's what they want, because they don't have an overarching principle. We believe, as Christians, there are moral absolutes. There are things that are right and wrong. And we know they're right and wrong. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. He's also written on our hearts issues of right and wrong. And I think inherently human beings know some things are right and some things are wrong. I think inherently they know if it belongs to my neighbor, don't steal it. Okay? If it belongs to my neighbor, don't tear it up. If I tear it up, replace it. There's some things that just go with I think, good common sense. And when he made us in our image, I think he put some absolutes in there. And we goof up. We violate them. We're not perfect at all. But it's still this idea that Christianity has moral absolutes, but postmodernism has no moral absolutes. Biology looks at a punctuated evolution. And this is something basically taken over in the 70s, got introduced. And they believe in evolution, Darwinian evolution, but then they could never find what they call a biological mechanism to get from one species to another. Okay? What they do find is a microevolution within different species. They change. Like the squirrels in my backyard, I've used over and over again. These little creatures keep reproducing new squirrels that carry with them the knowledge of the guy sticking his head out the back door with the black thing in his hand. The pellet gun. So that they, I mean, all they got to do is see me. They can see me from across the field and they go and leave and they move. Microevolution. Nobody argues with that. Things adapt, things they change. We are adaptable creatures by nature. But for a gorilla to suddenly become a camel is another problem. Okay? I saw a silverback gorilla. I think it was a fake, one of those fake things. Silverback gorilla take on four lions. Four lions attacked him. And the daddy lion raised up to go after him, and that gorilla just knocked the fool out of him. Whop! It's probably fake. I wish it wasn't fake, but he just knocked that lion. And here came the other three, and he took them apart too. And the next thing you know, these cats are slinking off away from this gorilla. I hope it was true, but I doubt if seriously if it was. Anyway. That's a sidetrack I didn't need to take. But punctuated evolution, long about the 70s, they decided it wasn't taking millions of years. It happened by catastrophe. That was led by a guy named Velikovsky, who decided that, hey, we can have a Mount St. Helens, for example, and it is a catastrophe that advances evolution. So it's a catastrophic evolution type of thing. And so that's biology. Christian, yeah, God made it. Creationism, that's who we are. We're not trying to deal with some actual mythology of evolutionary change. Psychology. Psychology is interesting. We're going to look at these all a little more, but this hopefully will be a good introduction. Is a social construction. Now, if you understand the tenets of evolution, then you know that we are... that one of their tenets is environmental determination. This is another term for that. Social construction. However you grew up, wherever you were, that determines your decisions and your outcomes. We believe in dualism. It's a body-soul situation. That's what's called dualism. And we're not a product of our environment. Who's running the show whenever they're doing all kinds of things to excuse certain behavior? Well, they're a product of their environment. Well, we all are to a degree, but it doesn't take our volition away is the problem. We're still the ones that decide whether or not to go ahead and carry the thing out. Sociology. This sociology is the sexual egalitarianism. This basically is where all the LGBTQRST comes from and all that other stuff that fits in there, that everybody's equal. And so that's what their viewpoint is on sociology. And it's interesting because they profess a live and let live philosophy, yet it's not the way they live. Not the way they live. Because they want you to conform to them. See, there are no absolutes. We've already talked about that. The postmodern, there's no absolutes. Unless you disagree with me. If you disagree with me, then you're the one that's wrong. But you try to argue with them, but there are no absolutes. Oh, for you maybe, but for me there is. But they're very inconsistent. The hypocrisy comes out of this. Have you noticed that people say one thing and do another thing? Now, Christians have been known for that, okay? But postmoderns are classic. Why do you find the Congress, they are upset about one president that does something and not upset about another president that does something whenever maybe one of them is prohibited, maybe the other one is not prohibited? Whatever it is, they just want to take differing sides. Now, sociology to a Christian should be church. Our sociology. That's where we get to know people. This is where we get to let iron sharpen iron. This is where we get to help other people out. We have a social system that is designed for us. How about law? Critical legal studies. That sounds good, doesn't it? Critical legal studies. Critical legal studies means that they're going to take a law, okay, and then they're going to figure out a way to dissect the law, and then they're going to redefine the words in the law. That's what's called critical legal studies. What we believe is there's natural law, just like we talked about, that there's some things we know are right, some things we know are wrong, some things we're not supposed to do. God wrote it on the hearts of men. He put inside of us an issue of right and wrong. And I think we've got some basic stuff there. And that's what we understand about natural law. How about politics? Politics, to a postmodern, they flow with the liberal viewpoint. Liberal leftist viewpoint, that's their main realm of pursuing things. That's what they want to do. Now, liberals and conservatives can all be wacky, okay? Just because you wear a T-shirt says, I'm a conservative. Or just because you listen to a Bible class says, God is a conservative. Just because you listen to those things doesn't mean necessarily you're on the right side of history. Politics is all about self, when you think about it. Now, they often use and talk about other people, but there are in politics who still have character. It's not like some say, well, all doctors are crazy because one is, or all preachers are nuts because one is. It's not this. It's some not all politicians are crazy. Some of them got honor and character, and that's what we look for. But whenever they're willing to twist and change anything and everything in order to get a personal agenda, that's a problem. Politics should be about justice and freedom. That's something that's been lost in our society. What is justice? How's it carried out? Economics. Economics to postmodern means interventionism. So it means that they want the government because the way what they want is the method to get to Marxism, which is an atheistic system. That's what they want to do. So they use interventionism. They want to run and control everything. And then, what is biblical economics to a Christian? Stewardship. Okay? Take what you've got, use it wisely, use it to the glory of God. Use it to provide for your family. Use it to help other people. That's what we do, and it's a matter of stewardship to a Christian. It's not a matter of the government telling us everything we're supposed to do. And history, this is where it gets really nasty. You heard of the 1619 Project? I know a lot of you heard of the 1619 Project. That's a rewrite of history. Guess who's behind the rewrites of history? The postmodern viewpoint. They like to go back and revise history. They revise history to make it a certain social construct to try and guide future history. So they rewrite it. It's not just about writing the facts and the data and stuff like that. It's more interpretative history that they have gone back, taken some pieces of data, twisted the data. What is a Christian history? It's all about redemption. Seemed like we sang about that this morning. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, postmodern thinking is now in Christianity, and it snuck in through what is frequently called the emerging church or emergent church movement. Now, the emerging church or emergent church movement has a tendency to change its name. Okay, when they first came out, that's what they called themselves. And it is, they've got a lot of good things going for them. Not saying everything they do is evil by a long shot. But they have some good things like community and service, but they also have some troubling problems. One of the big ones is, in this newer movement, is they deny inerrancy. And to me, when you deny the inerrancy of the Word of God, you have opened yourself up to the schemes of the devil. Because that makes you God. You're the one doing the interpreting. You're not exegeting, reading out what the author wants you to know. You're eisegeting, reading in what you want to find. That, to me, is very dangerous. Many of them are skeptics of foundational knowledge. That means they don't think there's any underlying principles, like there is a God and you're not Him. That's why they can be so compromising in what they do. And underlying principles, like there are sins and Jesus has defined them in His Word. So some view Jesus as just a man. Some view Him as a man who is deified by man. We're the ones that turned Him into God. He wasn't God that became man. Our city, the 21st of December, Jesus came into the world. He came into the world. He was God that came into the world. And that's a definitive statement made multiple times by the Scripture. But if you don't believe the Scripture is accurate, you can throw it all out. It's a handy system for the devil to use. Some believe Jesus was just a spirit being. He was never here. Or some believe that He's just a thought process. Or some believe when He just became His thoughts and teachings and all the good stuff He did was resurrected, but His body was stolen by the disciples, is what they actually believe. Now, this is a problem. Whenever people, and it just goes all back to the basics, there is a God, we're not Him. He revealed Himself to us. Being God, He would do it perfectly. Although He's revealing it to imperfect people, we can mess it up really bad. Okay? But our objective is to try and abide in His Word and become disciples of His. And then we're promised, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. We can know the truth. But a postmodern, as we get through this, they don't believe that you can know the truth. They believe truth is an elusive concept that changes from culture to culture, from time to time, and therefore you can't hold anybody to anything called absolute truth. Now, this is what's going on behind the scenes, not just in the U.S., but all over the world. It's a postmodern viewpoint that twists things around. So we're going to take a little closer look at these as we move on through this section. And we're going to look at some clear examples, hopefully, that we're able to, when we see this happening, we'll know what's up. Let's pray. Father, it's a good day. We thank you for it. Thank you for your goodness and grace and love and your blessings and your tests. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for guaranteeing us eternity, not because of what we do, but because of what he did. Thank you that we know one day we'll be with you forevermore, that we will rise when you call our name. Father, let us give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.